When I was reading these scriptures for this weekend, I was struck by the juxtaposition of the power of God and the tenderness of God. This passage from the Gospel takes place right after the feeding of the 5,000 we heard about in the Gospel last week. And we recognize that for St. John, that miracle of the multiplication of loaves was the image of the Eucharist, of Jesus taking what we have and making it sufficient for all, giving himself and it being multiplied to all of the people. And it took place after he had been teaching them. And it reminds us that Jesus expects us not just to teach and to spread the good news, but also we need to be able to meet the physical needs of people as well, making sure that they are not hungry and thirsty as they are sent out on this journey of faith. And after he's fed the people and sent them on their way, he makes the disciples get into a boat to precede him to the other side. He sends them out as well. And then he goes up on the mountain by himself to pray. And we recognize that the mountain is symbolic of that presence of God that came down on the mountain that we heard about in the first reading. And even though God may have been made manifest in the great and powerful signs of wind and earthquake and fire, that's not where God is. God is present in the tiny whispering sound. And Jesus is by himself in prayer. I always smile to myself when I hear that, because many people, when you ask them, do they attend church? Well, not many, but some people will say to you, well, you know, I worship God much better on the top of a mountain than I do in church. And someone once said to me, we should ask people at that point, how often do you go to the top of the mountain? The reality is that we are called to worship. We're called to be together. And it's important that we be able to be together to worship God. One of the things about seeking God, I found this little piece that I thought was very significant. And it said that Carl Jung, who many of us know as a psychiatrist, was counseling a man who had been receiving therapy for 6 months and was getting no better. Finally, Dr. Jung said, "Friend, I cannot do any more for you. What you need is God." "How do I find God, Dr. Jung?" the man asked. "I do not know," said Jung. "But I suspect if you find a group of people that believe in him passionately and just spend time with them, you will find God." And I think that's something we need to recognize, that not only are we called to be together so that we can seek out God together, but we are the vehicle to help others to find God as well. And then we have this interesting passage where Jesus is walking on the water, this beautiful miracle. And the disciples have been for many hours in fear for their lives because of the waves and the wind. And it reminds us that when we're sent out, Jesus never promises us that it's going to be smooth or easy. we're going to face those headwinds. We're going to face waves in our lives. But Jesus is always there. And, you know, one of the things that's so unique about our faith, and I found it again today when they were talking about, there was a great liberal Jewish scholar, C.G. Montefiore, who held strongly that there is one absolutely new thing which Jesus came to say. He said that the idea of a God who will invite the sinner back is not new. The idea of a God who will welcome back the penitent sinner is not new. But the idea of a God who will go and seek the sinner and wants men to do the same is something completely new. This idea that God comes to us, and in this passage in the gospel, Jesus doesn't say, okay, Peter, swim over here and I'll help you. He reaches down his hand to pull him up, to save him. And that's what's so unique about our faith, is that God sent Jesus to save us. And it's not just about us looking for God. It is God who seeks us out as well. And in that moment, when we know we're sinking, and I suspect all of us have been there, and if you haven't, you will be, there will be times when we call out, Lord, save us. And he will stretch out his hand. And with that same gentle, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He will welcome us back into the boat, back into the bark of Peter, back into the church. And we will be able to recognize him as truly the Son of God. The other thing that I found really interesting was this little piece that came from Thomas Merton. And he said, my only task is to be what I am, a man seeking God in silence and solitude, with respect to the demands and realities of his own vocation, and fully aware that others, too, are seeking the truth in their own way. We are called to search for God, but we're also called to remember that God is searching for us as well.